Well, did you get to 1 Peter chapter 1? That's close to the end of the book. And this is, I'm just going to read from the King James here. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And now, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I like some of these other translations. The Bible in Basic English says, because you have had a new birth, not from the seed of man. See, all of us came from corruptible seed. So, as it explains in verse 24, as the flesh is as the grass, that means we're going to sprout up, we're going to reach a peak, and if Jesus tarries, we're going to wither and leave this earth. We're going to die, right? Leave this body and be in his presence. But thank God, your spirit never dies. It says here, being what? Born again, not of something corruptible, but of incorruptible what? The word of God, the seed of God, the word of God. But it goes on and it says, the Bible in Basic English, but we were born from eternal seed through the word of a living and unchanging God. Oh yeah, I like that. We were born again from eternal seed through the word of a living and unchanging God. Hallelujah. This is the Message translation. It says, your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. God's living in me. He's taken up residence. His very life now has come into me because of his seed, his word. Hallelujah. Which is impregnated with his life, his DNA. Right? You could say. The Phillips translation, or the J.B. Phillips, it says, for you are the sons of God now. You know, we sing that song, I'm a child of God. We're the sons of God now. The live, permanent word of the living God has given you his own indestructible heredity. Oh, my goodness. I'm his offspring. I've got his, you know, when they say, you know, your heredity, somebody said, you look just like your mother or father. You just like him. You just look like him. Well, you've got his heredity. How? The seed, the word of God has impregnated me with his very nature, his heredity. My goodness. And it's indestructible. I like the way that says that. So I'm a new creation in Christ, right? Hallelujah. God's living in me. I have his what? His nature, his heredity. What is that? Love, joy, peace. My goodness. Hallelujah. So we can see here, as we were sharing, our body is the result, our bodies are the result of a human seed. But this new man is the result of what? His seed. I'm born again. I'm brand new. I've got a new nature now. That's what 1 John 3:9 says. It says that because you have his seed in you, it says you cannot, it says you don't commit sin. That means you don't practice sin. It says because his seed remaineth in us. So this inner man has been made brand new. You know, I wanted to look at something, you know, sometimes just, I don't say cherry pick, but if you just read a little further, look at, so we're first Peter 2, I'm sorry, 1. Now continue, here's what we're reading, right? It says here, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now look at the next verse, because they wrote these not in chapter and verse. The same thought is, it's continuing. What does it say in the King James? Wherefore, or therefore, the thoughts connecting with what was just shared. Wherefore, doing what? Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, right? So we've got, he's saying here, he's connecting the thought with being born again. He's saying you're going to have to lay some of this stuff aside. And then what is verse 2? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what? Remember we've been talking about seed and the various types of ground, and there's ground that produces. Well, in order to do what? Increase, in order to grow. If you've been in some of these lessons, you can see what? We had wayside or a hard path, right? That was trodden down. That was one type of ground, right? So look at verse 1. What does it say? You're going to have to lay some of this side. What would that do? It would choke growth, wouldn't it? It would choke seed being fruitful or coming to maturity, would it not? So you can see verse 1 here of chapter 2 has a direct impact on what? Desiring the sincere milk of the word, that what? You may do what? Grow thereby. So you can see here when we talked about, well, we'll get over there. Let me read this from the Passion Translation. I don't want to get ahead. But 1 Peter 2, verse 1, it says, so abandon every form of evil, deceit, hypocrisy, feelings of jealousy and slander. In the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word. For this milk will cause you to grow into maturity, fully nourished and strong for life. See? So we've got to not only crave it, but the milk of the word is going to cause us to do what? Grow. Into what? It says to be nourished and grow into maturity, fully nourished and strong for life. So we can see just from this, from 1 Peter chapter 1 and 23, 24, 25, he uses an example of the outer man and the inner man. And he shows you that the outer man decays, but the inner man, as 2 Corinthians says, is what? Being renewed day by day. The seed of the word of God is what? Indestructible. So it's changed our spirits. So we're being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Just keep meditating, thinking about these scriptures, and they get big inside you. They water what's been planted. So I'm going to read from the King James, verse 6, 7, 8, 9. It says, for I have planted, or I have planted, this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You know, some of us think we got to make the increase. This says here, he planted. We just have to make sure that the seed gets planted in our hearts. It gets watered, and God does the increasing. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And we said in past lessons, you know, husbandry just means a farm. God is referred to in the scriptures in parables. He's referred to as the husbandman. He's the farmer. And we're the husbandry. That word, we don't talk like that anymore, but it just means a garden. It means a field. So what does that mean? My spirit is God's garden. And it's meant to be planted with his word, his seed, which is him impregnated in the word. It's his very nature. So he wants his seed, his word, planted in my spirit so that it does what? It produces, so I become what? I become like him. I become a reflection of him in this earth. And so some of the other translations, when it talks about you're God's husbandry, the Moffat translation says, you are God's field to be planted. So this spirit is a garden, a field, and it's meant to be planted. And it also says God's house to be built. The New Living says you are God's field. So that's what we're designed. We're designed to be planted and watered, and God does what? He gives the increase. So now let's turn over to Luke chapter 8. I'm going to expand a little bit this evening. And Luke chapter 8 and verse 4, but we're going to read this again. I like this particular account. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. I'll wait a minute for you to get there. And starting in verse 4 from the King James Version, it says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. So now he's speaking in parables, a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. The New Living says stepped on. So you can see here, and if you look that up, I'll just share it with you, but I took the time to look it up. But the word trodden or trodden down, it means to trample down, but it also means to reject figuratively. This is what the Strong's Concordance says. It means to reject with disdain. So we're going to see here the ground represents somebody's heart. So when they reject the word, disdain, of course, means to something regarded as inferior, or you snub it, or you have contempt for it. That's no different. You know, we were in settings, and you start sharing the word, or you share something, and people say, oh, there they go again. Can we, please, I want to hear that. I've been in that many times. How many? I want to hear that. And I go, okay, fine. I remember one that comes to mind. I remember I was sharing something. They were in a rough spot. And I started sharing some things. And they said, can we change the subject, please? And I said, sure, no problem. And I left. And I was going to see him in 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, I prayed in the Holy Ghost. And I said, Satan, I bind you from hindering them from hearing the word. I take authority over you. I command you in Jesus' name. You will not hinder me the next time I go. And guess what happened? When I went, I didn't go there with the purpose of just going in there, you know, like, dun, 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 you know, just go in and hit them hard with the word. No, it was friendly. But then we shifted over, didn't stop. And they accepted Christ. See? and they were ministered to. But sometimes you can't take no because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Demons and devils and principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. They don't want the seed to get planted in somebody's heart because it'll, what does the scripture say? The truth, the seed will do what? Make you free. He don't want people to be free. He wants them to be bound. So you know what you do? You take the word of God. When you get some resistance, you say, no problem. And I'll go to my little closet and do some kicking. Amen. Amen. And say, you get on out. Amen. You're not going to hinder them from getting the word of God. Amen. Amen. That's what you do. And so, and it says here, it was trodden down and what? The fowls of the air devoured it. It never got in the ground. It was just trodden down. And some fell on a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered because it lacked moisture. So we can see, just like Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. So this here fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, so that means it sprung up quick. And what happened? It says it withered. There's no moisture, no watering. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and did what? Bear fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. You know, I took the time, I didn't really spend a lot of time, but you know, when it talks about seed falling on good ground and producing a hundredfold, it's really fascinating and interesting. I'm not a farmer, I like being outside. You know, my father was a horticulturist, he went to college for it and was dabbled in that kind of stuff, you know, at a very high level, but I didn't. And so I just was around it. But I saw him make cuttings and graftings and do all this kind of stuff. But when it comes to seeds, if you're a farmer, it's really fascinating. I just looked up, I said, how much does a seed produce? And you look it up. I mean, I spent about 10, 15 minutes looking, and I said, man, this is overwhelming. This is amazing. But one wheat seed will produce, on one stalk, will produce 8 heads. And they said one seed will produce like 40 to 50 seeds in one wheat seed. And then they said, like, if you took, then they got into this whole thing of how many seeds are in a pound. So they said like 1 pound is 15,000 seeds, and one bushel basket of seeds is 900,000. And they said that typically in 1 acre of a plot of ground that you're going to put seed in, it takes about 1 to 2 bushels. So they're planting roughly over 1 million seeds in that 1 acre. Of wheat. And then they're going to produce, and they said wheat produces about 80% germination. And they said you're going to get 8 heads off of that with 40 some seed. Look at the multiplication. So if you, all things being equal, one seed can generate, if you just keep generating it, could generate hundreds of acres. I mean, if you just kept the multiplication going. But it's fascinating. So this here, this is what Jesus was talking about. He said, a seed in good ground can produce 100-fold. I mean, it's just, so think about what the word of God does. That's why the devil hates the seed of the word, because if it goes in good ground, it's going to produce. It will produce. See, we're not talking about something that's destructible. We're talking about something that's indestructible, that liveth and abideth forever. The seed of the word of God. Hallelujah. So verse 11, continuing in chapter 8, it says, now the parable is this. Now he's unpacking this or revealing to the disciples because they asked him. He said, the seed is the word of God. Well, you ask yourself, how does the seed work? You know, just stop and think about that. He said the seed is the word of God. Well, how does the seed work? It works like a seed. He just got done using that example. The seed, when he talked about it, has to be planted. It has to be watered. The conditions have to be right. Well, that's just like in the natural. So he's using a natural example to show you how God's seed works. But it's not destructible. It's indestructible. Amen? So think about this. Just because you come to church and hear the word doesn't mean you got it. Doesn't mean it's planted. Just because you come to church and hear the word does not guarantee that the seed is planted. And if it is planted, it needs to be watered and watered and continually watered so that God gives the increase. See, because that's why he used these examples of different ground, so that we could learn by that, right? It needs to be, what does it say? The seed needs to be cherished, and it needs to be what? Watered. Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Well, that word saved, believe and saved, is the word sozo. That Greek word means to deliver, to protect, to heal, to be whole. So this covers, you know, this particular word covers everything in your life. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with what? Joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares, or you could say worries, and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. And this is what we were sharing in the past. You can see from what? When it said wayside. So this is seed sown by the wayside, then seed sown on rocky soil, and then seed sown on thorny soil, mixed with thorns. Those three type were progressive. One went from it being trodden down, and then the fowls of the air came, or the devil came and stole it. And then the other was what? It fell on rocky ground, it sprung up, it lacked moisture, and it withered. So at least that one got in the ground, but it lacked water. Then what happened to the next one? It got sown in thorns, and the cares of life and the pleasures of riches choked it. And what did it say? It says it brought no fruit to perfection. So it may have meant there was fruit starting to grow, but it didn't come to what? Maturity. Didn't come to maturity. So you can see the progression. And then let's look here in verse 15. But that on the good ground, now he starts talking about another type of ground, good ground, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with what? Patience. Now that word keep it means to hold on to something. It just means to possess it, seize it, keep it in your memory. That's exactly what the definition of that is. It just means that you're holding on to it. So I guess the question is it possible, is this the question, is it possible to hear the word and have no results? Yeah, that's what the scripture says. We just got done reading three different types of grounds, three different types of hearts. And so you could hear the word and not bring forth results. And so Jesus is showing us what's the characteristic or the two main characteristics of good ground. He says right here, it's an honest and good heart. An honest and good heart. And then he goes on and says, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So when we look at that, that's what I was sharing before. When we look at something that's honest, if you look that word up, it just means honorable. If you've got an honest heart, that means you cherish the truth. You know, what's interesting, and I'm going to jump over there in a moment. You can jump ahead to John 8. Go over to the book of John, Gospel of John, and go to chapter 8. When we talk about honest, that word means excellent, morally good, noble, honorable. That's what that means. So if you have an honest and good heart, you said those are the characteristics of good ground. But go over to John 8 and look at starting in verse 31. See, when we look at this, Jesus spoke in John 6:63. You don't have to turn there. He said, the words that I speak unto you are what? Spirit and life. There's spirit and life. And what did Jesus also say in John 14? He said, I am the way, the truth, and what? And the life. So he's the truth and the life. So let's look at starting in verse 31. This is insightful here when we look at John 8. He said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, see, this is what we're talking about, keeping it. A good and honest heart, keeping it. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall what? Know the truth, the seed, the word of God. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, if you go through here, let's just read down through this, because it's really, it's insightful. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Then look what Jesus, he starts to pinpoint them now. he starts to get on their territory here. Step on their toes, you could say. He said, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. See, you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. They're not seeking the truth. They don't have a good heart or an honest heart. So what does he go on? He says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Oh boy, he's getting on their case here now. Now he says in verse 39, are they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you what? The truth, the seed of God's word. right? Which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. So he nailing them here. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. See, they're getting upset now. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him, no seed in him. My what? My word is truth. So when he said there's no truth in you, he's saying there's no seed in you. None. You're a murderer, right? When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. So you can see here, when we talk about good ground is what? Is what we said. Are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. That means they cherish it. They receive it. They hear it. They keep it. See? Those that are not of God, they don't want to hear it. Now, I'm not saying those at all, because some will hear the word. Their hearts will see that they need the truth and receive it. But this here is saying they didn't receive the truth. But the truth will what? Make you free. So the seed is truth. It is the truth. And this, what I was reading the last couple lessons in Luke 8:15, from some of the translations, in the God's Word translation, it says, the seeds that were planted on good ground are people who also hear the word, but they keep it in their good and honest hearts and produce what is good despite what life may bring. So when you have a good and honest heart, you cherish the word, you believe it, you receive it and believe it, and do what? Keep it, you act on it. That means no matter what my life may bring, I'm going to stick with it. This is what the Message translation says. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. Oh boy, I tell you, that just excites me every time I hear it. When we receive the word, a good and honest heart is going to take the word, keep it, and hold on to it and stick with it no matter what life may bring until it brings forth a harvest. So what does that mean? That means, to me, this is the key for coming out of debt. This is the key for coming out of sickness. This is the key for coming out of bondage. I hear the word of truth, and I hear it, and I'm going to do what? Obey it, stick with it until there's a harvest in my life. Because those that love the truth will be set free, will be free from the things that bind and choke, right? But if you yield to the weeds, right, what does it do? Choke. It chokes the word. It chokes the truth. So we have a choice. In the ground, we can either do what? Yield and reject the word, and Satan comes and does what? Steals unless we believe, and what? Produce a harvest. Or you don't water it, Or you let the thorns and thistles of life choke the seed, the word of God, the truth, and we don't bear fruit. We don't bring it to, we don't allow it, allow God to bring it to maturity. But we're going to need patience, right? Let patience have its perfect work. Now let's, I just want to finish up with this. Let's turn over to the book of Ephesians, epistles, Ephesians chapter 4. And you'll see some similarity here in what we're talking about here. Ephesians chapter 4, looking at verse 15. Verse 15. Talking about the truth here. A good and honest heart. But look at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4. It says, but speaking what? The truth in what? In love may do what? Grow up. That's increase. That's growing, right? Coming to maturity. This is what we were talking about, seeing the seed come to maturity, growing up. So it says here, may grow up what? Into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to what? The effectual working. Remember we were talking about 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the word of God will is effectually working in us that believe. This says here, effectually working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their what? Heart. Or that word blindness is hardness. See, we're talking about something that's hardness of the heart. And what does it say? It says that they've got, it says they're alienated from what? The life of God because of that. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, I want to look at really focus in on this starting in verse 20. What does this say here? But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as what? As the truth, the seed, the word of God is in Jesus, that you do what? Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on what? The new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away what? Lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for ye are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now look at verse 29 and 30. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now look at verse 31. This is what we were just looking at in 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore? Laying aside all these things. Here's what he's saying in Ephesians. He's saying, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So you can see here that this whole process of the good ground, being an honest and good heart who hears the word, receives it, and keeps it, and brings forth a harvest, this is saying here that in order to do that, what we were reading in 1 Peter, that laying aside all malice, all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings. This is what we just got done reading here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that was good to the use of edifying. This goes on in 1 Peter and says, you got to do this first. And then if you don't, it's going to do what? It's going to affect your heart. It's going to affect the fruit that gets born in your heart. You're not going to, if you let that bad seed stay there, it's going to produce a crop and it's going to choke the word, God's truth. Here, just look what it says up here in verse 25 and 26. This is how you open the door up right here. Wherefore, what does it say? Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for your members one of another. Be what? Angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. And we know James 4:7, it says what? Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. How are you going to resist him? Don't lie. Don't be angry. Sin not. Submit to what? If we're submitting to God, then we're submitting to the truth. We love the truth. And we're going to submit to the truth. And look, everybody has missed it. But as we get more insight and revelation, as we cherish the truth and we receive it and keep it, what is John 15? He says, every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He prunes. So if we're bearing fruit, the scripture, the word of God, the entrance of his word is going to reveal to every one of us individually areas that we need to correct so that we can do what? Bring forth more fruit. And that's what we're pointing out here is that we need to correct those things and lay aside all these things because what does it say? It says it will impact your desire for the word. It will. Amen goes right there. Amen goes right there. It just does. There's more, you know, if we're hungry, we could be more hungry for the word. You know, have any of you, you know, just think about this. Just think about this from a natural diet standpoint. I've noticed this. I don't know about you, but I have. Because I've read some things about it, and I've noticed it. If you eat carbohydrates, rice, pasta, anything along those lines, right? Anybody ever, well, let me just rephrase it this way. You could eat vegetables until you're green. And your body doesn't, I gotta have it. I don't crave it. But when you eat pasta and you eat rice and you eat things that have carbs in it, in about 8 or 10 hours, you're like, give me more. I want more. Because it produces a craving in us because it gets converted to sugar, which gets converted to almost like a drug that you got to have more. Now, if you take it away, I've noticed it. If I take it out of my diet, I don't crave it. But boy, you put a little in and you start craving it. Well, you know, the same thing goes with God. You can remove some things that hinder your craving of the Word of God. Take away out some of the stuff we do, the things that create distractions, and insert more of his time in with him, and you'll crave more of God, more of his presence, more of his word. And this is where, you know, when we start removing certain things out of our lives, we'll crave more of him. That's what he's looking for. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And where is it? In his precious promises, in the truth, in the seed. Amen? So for us, it's more time with him. I know God's been, he's been speaking to me. I want you to spend more time with me. So if I don't, you know, he's already spoken. So he wants to lead me to a different place, a more intimate place where I hear him even clearer. Why? Because he knows some things I don't know. I don't want to be bumping around when life throws some things at you. Do you? I know you don't. So that's why when we come, that's why when it says the cares of life choke the word, that's worries. And so that's why we were reading that scripture at the beginning, that how do we reach a place of rest and confidence and assurance? It's from this truth of God's word, the seed, faith. So when life throws some stuff at you, you're not in a tizzy over it. We're at rest, confident that the seed will produce. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for giving us assurance in your word that the seed is planted. We've watered this evening, and we thank you that this seed will produce a harvest. We thank you that you watch over your word to perform it, and not one word is void of power and fulfillment. So we thank you for it, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen.